Shabbat Shalom. So Rabbi asked me to give the teaching today. He is in Tampa with his wife and daughter. I'm not sure how many know, but her daughter's competing for the state in orchestra for viola. And so she made it to the state competition, so she's in Tampa for that. So keep her in your prayers and her encouragement. Father God, King of the universe, I just come before your throne, Lord, and thank you for what you've been showing me and preparing for this. I pray, Lord, that only the words that they need to hear will be heard, whether it be here in the synagogue or around the world. Lord, we pray for hundreds of thousands of people around the world to be able to tune in and hear your word being preached and taught and praised in this synagogue. Amen. And before we begin, as Rabbi said, I don't want to be accused of plagiarism or anything, so I am not quoting his book, although it is available in the bookstore if you're interested. But I read a book by the late Pat Robertson called The Secret Kingdom, and most of what I'm going to share is from that book. So if you have a chance to get it and read it, I know you'll be blessed by it. It's very, very practical, and today's teaching that I want to share with you, I want it to be practical. I want it to be something that you can identify with, that you can leave here and act on and mull over in your mind and think it through and see where and how it applies. So if you're like me, you read scriptures and they sound good and they make sense, or you read them so many times that you take for granted what they say without giving much thought to the implications or how to apply it. One verse in particular, Yeshua is speaking, and he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm sure we've all read that scripture hundreds and hundreds of times. The interesting thing about this scripture is that he's telling us to seek first the kingdom of God. How many of you have wondered, what is the kingdom of God? How do I seek it today? How do I do that? And that's kind of what I want to talk about. Now, first off, the important thing is that Yeshua said this. So in a hierarchy of obedience, if you will, or authority, if I say something, it's probably okay. If Rabbi says it, it's probably more founded. And going to the scripture, if Paul says it, it's probably really important. But if Yeshua says it, okay, that settles it. So anyway, Yeshua said this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So what makes up the kingdom of God? Now we've been fortunate in this country. We've never been under a king. And even in Britain today, they're really not under a king. There's a president and whatever, prime minister and so forth around the world. There's very few kingdoms, quote unquote, left where there's a king in charge. But we've seen the Robin Hood movies. So we know what those kinds of kings are like, and we've seen other depictions of kings. But a kingdom is truly under the sovereignty of one leader. In our kingdom, we know it is God, okay? He's sovereign, it's his kingdom, he controls. If he wants, in the world, kings, if they want that piece of land, it's theirs. If they want that house, it's theirs. If they want that job for you, it's yours. That's how a king operates. He has complete sovereignty. Our king is exactly the same, except that his principles and laws in his kingdom are different than the world's laws and principles. So the kingdom of God, as I say, has principles. Obviously, I won't be able to cover all of the kingdom principles today, but my goal is that, as I said, when we leave here, we'll have a better understanding or be able to hear what God wants, how God wants us to live in his kingdom, what we need to do to accomplish this, and learn what are God's laws in the kingdom. The word kingdom is used 162 times in the New Testament. 70 times the word kingdom is used 162 times in the New Testament. Kingdom of God is used 70 times and 30 times just in the book of Matthew. So we know that God and Yeshua, who's really the life story is in the New Testament, is the kingdom of God is very, very important to him and to us. Before we look at the kingdom of God and how it functions, let's look at what happens in the kingdom of Satan and how his kingdom functions. First off, we have broken homes with single parents. The kingdom principle is division. Drugs are killing our kids. Alcohol abuse affects all ages. Self-will and self-gratification is the kingdom principle there. Illiteracy is at an all-time high. I heard the sheriff speak one time, and he was speaking about education and crime and planning, and he said that they take a look at the reading scores of third graders, and based on the reading score of third graders, they know how many prison cells they need to build for the next 15 to 20 years. That's a major indicator. So, again, that poverty and homelessness. Now, Yeshua did say that the poor will always be with you, but most of the poor that we are facing with today is not the poor of what Yeshua is talking about. It's mental disorders. It's not wanting to work. It's a lot of other things besides the poverty that he was talking about. But again, it's to bring people down. Sexual depravity, beginning in the elementary school. The principle of his kingdom is immorality. Gender confusion and mental disorders. Never in my whole lifetime would I ever think I had to have a discussion with someone if they're a male or a female. I know that when they dig up the graves 1,000 years from now, by the bone structure and all they see, they're going to say, oh, that was a male that died. Well, that was a female that died. But again, it's his goal is to destroy. The entitlement society, a low work ethic, which is sloth, and laziness. No God, no morals, no values. Man is God. His principle, pride and ego and self-will run riot. And racism, which is division. How can we divide? And the Torah portion today was talking about the division in our reading today. So the opening verse I want to talk about is Mark 1, verse 15. We'll start there. And when Yeshua came to this earth, he came for one overarching purpose, and that was, as I've been saying, to bring the kingdom of God into this dark world. Mark 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." First thing is, who's saying this? It's Yeshua. So I'm going to say that several times during my time with you, because I want you to understand that this is what he said. He wouldn't tell us anything if he didn't think we could do it. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's not going to happen just like that, because there's principles I'm going to talk about that'll say why that won't be that way. But I want you to know this is what the king is saying to us. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Yeshua said repent. Repentance and salvation comes first, but it doesn't end there. That's the key to the door to enter God's kingdom and his principles and laws. And we can't go into the kingdom unless we've been born again. We have to go in that way. That's how he set it up. He's the king. If you want to go into his kingdom, if you were to call a king somewhere and say, how do I get into your kingdom? He would say, well, this is what you have to do. He may say you can't come in because you weren't born here. Well, what if I was born again? If you're born again, you might be able to get in. The king dictates. So if you look around, you can see that man without God follows a specific set of laws from the kingdom of darkness. Greed, obsessed with something he can't get enough of. Self-will, I want it when I want it, even if it hurts me or others. Lying, deception, if it's your truth, it's true to you. Lust for power, money, control, and dominance. Divisiveness, causing hostility between people. Selfishness, gluttony, another form of greed, but for food or wine. Self-gratification, wanting what you want when you want it. Jealousy, feeling resentment against someone for what they have, whether it be money, love, position, etc. And immorality, if it feels good, do it. Now let's look at the laws of the kingdom. I'm not going to cover all of these, but we will look at a few. Hopefully, it will cause you to study for yourself these laws. We have the law of use, the law of perseverance, the law of reciprocity, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of greatness, having a servant's heart, the law of unity, sharing a common vision. Any group or organization can change the world. The law of faithfulness, being trusted with little and will end up having much, or being trusted with much. The law of change, old wineskins and new wineskins. The law of miracles, the centurion believed God And he said, you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. Just speak the word. I'm under authority. I understand that. And Yeshua said, I've not seen that much faith in all of Israel. And the law of dominion. We have dominion over darkness by the power of the Holy Spirit. So turn to Luke 8:10. Now Yeshua is going to tell his disciples how the kingdom of God works. You have been chosen to know the secrets about the kingdom of God. So he's telling us that we could know this. It's not, I wonder how, or I can't believe that they're able to, or whatever that is. We can know the secrets about the kingdom of God. When Yeshua says this in Luke 8:10, it's really at the end of a parable that he gave about the sower and the soil. The sow the seed on the hard soil, or sow the seed in the soil that wasn't deep, and finally he sows it in good soil, and it comes up, and the disciples ask him about the meaning of that, because it was in a parable, and then he says, you have been chosen to know the secrets about the kingdom of God, and he begins to explain that parable. If you're a son or daughter of the Most High God and a follower of Yeshua HaMashiach, understanding the kingdom principles is for you. Let's begin and look at some of the laws of the kingdom that I want to focus on. Again, I showed you probably 10 or 11 different laws. We're going to focus on, I think, 3 or maybe 4 this morning in the time that I have. The first law is the law of use. So if we'll turn in the scriptures to Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15. By the way, the guys in the back are great. I'll tell you, Christian, thank you, sir. Everybody back there is great. Also, let me comment real quickly on Micah leading this service this morning. Was a real blessing. And also, I want to comment on Celia for being a great helpmate to him during that time. Youth and experience together is deadly. Thank you very much. So, in verse 14, Yeshua says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, just before this, Yeshua says, I'm going to tell you what the principles are to be in the kingdom. And by the way, he wants us to understand these principles, because if we do, we're going to have a reasonably good life, be successful in a lot of areas, and be able to accomplish a lot. Those of you that don't want any of that, this doesn't apply. This applies for those of us in the room that want to have a reasonably good life, be successful at what we do, and be able to accomplish what God asks us to do. That's the reason why he came and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are the kingdom principles. Walk in the kingdom, all of this direction. So we have the story of the man with the talents. One of the things that stood out to me when I read the scripture in verse 15, it says, to each according to his own ability. I never saw the word ability before, but I thought that was interesting. So what he's saying is that the master knows these 3 servants very well. He knows their ability. He's not asking anything from them that he doesn't think they can do. He knows their ability. So one he gave 5, one he gave 2, and one he gave 1. I tried to find out the value of a talent, and the numbers are all over the place. From $10,000 to $100,000, so I just picked $10,000 as an example. If you want to be more money, $100,000. But anyway, they were given, one was given $50,000, one was given $20,000, one was given $10,000. Then the master returned and called in his servants for an accounting. The first had 5 talents and made an additional 5 talents after expenses. So what did he do? He was given $50,000. He didn't know when his master was going to come back, but if I gave someone in the room $50,000 and they had a goal, a vision, a dream, a desire, whatever it may be, there's your $50,000. What are you going to do with it? Well, you're going to finds resources. You're going to talk to people. You know what your dream is. You know what your goal is. You know what you're trying to accomplish. You're going to bring in those resources. You're going to make the contacts. You're going to seek wise counsel. You're going to take some risk. You're going to do all these things to make this money grow. You're going to pay your expenses, the people that are working for you, and you're going to continue to make it go and grow until you have to give an account for it. That's what the man did with the five talents. And he gave back five more, and I say after expenses, because he had to have expenses. He had to live. He had to pay himself. He had to take care of his people or however he was doing. It wasn't like he just had the five talents and 2 years later when the master comes back, he gave him five more. There was work involved. Same holds true with the gentleman that was given the two talents. He added his two and gave more to the master. The third didn't use what the master had given him. The master said to the first two servants, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a little. Now you'll be oversee many things." Let's read a little further in Matthew 25, 26, 27. In this text, we see the response of the master was to the servant. In verse 26, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own interest.'" So he was really upset with this third servant. He knew his ability, and that would tell me that he would say, I know this guy can do really well. This guy's pretty good too. I'm sure he can do something as well because I know his ability. He wouldn't have given it to him if he didn't think he could do something with it. God won't give you something if he didn't think you can do something with it. Having been given one talent doesn't mean that you're not as good as the guy who got five talents. God knows your ability. He's not going to give you something that you cannot do. He's not going to make it impossible for you. Although with God, all things are possible. Let me say this. There's no reason why the guy with one, had he worked really hard using the law of use, the kingdom principle of use, that he couldn't have gotten 10 also. And we've all heard stories about business people that started with nothing. And, I mean, Pat Robertson wrote the book that I'm referring to today. He started with $70, okay? And his worldwide ministry gave away, I think it was $3.5 billion around the world in helping people. $70. Was that one talent that God gave him? Was it five? All I know is he did the law of use. He put it to use. Like I said, each one of us have been given certain talents. Sorry, Sinatra. I'm sorry. Spam. Okay. As I was saying. So the key here is, what are we going to do with the talents that God gives us? But in verse 30, the master says, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When we read this, a lot of people think that's really unfair, or it's too harsh. Well, whose kingdom are we in? God is saying, this is how my kingdom works. If you use what I give you, it's going to be really, really good. If you don't use what I give you, that which you have, I will take away. An example, my brother-in-law, who's 72 years old, about 2 years ago, he's not an athlete. About 2 years ago, he started doing push-ups. He could do one. After about 6 to 9 months, he was able to do 200 push-ups. And he started doing sit-ups using the law of use. Sidebar issue, maybe 6 months ago or 8 months ago, whatever it was, he was in a bad accident with a ATV vehicle. It flipped and rolled. But because he was in such good shape from the push-ups and the sit-ups, he was able to recover through the physical therapy a whole lot faster, the nurses said, than anybody that they've seen at his age with that kind of an accident. He had broken ribs and, you know, all it was really bad. So he put to use something, not knowing that God was going to need that use if he wanted to get well later. Okay? God is sovereign. Use what he gives you because you don't know why he's giving it to you, but he wants you to put it to use. Now, the opposite of that is, if you were to strap your arm to your side and not use it for 6 months, that which you had will already have been taken away. That arm would not be any good. It would take a lot of use to get it back. So what God is saying in this kingdom principle is use what I give you, because if you don't use what I give you, even that which you have is going to end up being taken away. It's a principle. In verse 25, 29, one more verse about the parable from Yeshua, he says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." So again, these are the words of Yeshua telling us this. God places a high value on us using what he's given us. Don't put boundaries or limits on what this means. To use it or lose it. If we want to excel in school, get there early, talk to your teachers, make sure you understand the homework, do more than you're being asked for, read the next chapter that you... And I'll bet you, your grades are going to go up. Use what we've given to you. Put it to work. Or on a job, you want to get a promotion. Get there early. Do more than you're being asked for. Stay late. Come up with ideas. Try to help your fellow workers. Try to be a blessing to the boss. The law of use will respond with a better job. Another law that I want to go into is the law of reciprocity. It kind of coincides with the law of sowing and reaping, but I'm going to talk more from a reciprocity perspective. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, again, these are Yeshua's words to his disciples. He says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." Now, we know that as the golden rule. And sadly, if you ask a lot of young folks, 30 years or younger, 25 years or younger, what the golden rule is, they don't know this because we've stopped teaching it decades ago. What they know is the new golden rule. Whoever has the gold rules. And it's funny, but it's really true. That's how this generation, how the world is changed and being changed to destroy, is to teach even that. If you got the gold, you rule. Okay, then I'm going to have to get the gold, or I'm going to follow after that. That's not what God says. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. In verse 36 and 37, Yeshua says, "Therefore be merciful, compassionate, lenient, gracious, just as your Father is also merciful." Verse 37, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, criticize, attack, disparage, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, pardon, absolve, feel no resentment towards, and you will be forgiven." Here are examples of reciprocity, doing unto others as you would have done unto you, how God treats us. This is God's character. He is merciful to us. He doesn't judge us. We judge ourselves. All he does is let us look in the mirror. This is the heart of God's of the gospel. Yeshua is showing us how God runs his kingdom. These are the qualities of the king. The kingdom of God is at hand, and the law of reciprocity is its driving force. In Luke 6:38, the next verse, Yeshua says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." The law of reciprocity. Yeshua is telling us that. When I read that last verse, what was your reaction inside your head as I read that? Some people automatically jump to tithing, asking for money, all this other stuff. Well, that verse means a lot more than that, although it's a part of it. This is not just speaking of money. If you give love, you'll get love. If you give kindness, you'll receive kindness. If you give respect, you'll receive respect. Conversely, If you give hatred, you'll reap hatred. If you show selfishness, you will be self-centered and alone. If you want good things to come your way, give good things away. It's stuff we all know, but are we actively mindset thinking of, in this kingdom, how do I live today? When I'm in the grocery store, when I'm online, when somebody, we always use the example, somebody cuts us off, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle that? You know, what kingdom principle should I be applying here? Forgive and it shall be forgiven. If you want to, like I said, get a promotion at work, some of the things you might do, if you do those things, the reciprocal of that is, let me give you an example with Micah. Although he's the rabbi's son, he started playing bass in the back, then he did bass in a song, and now he's doing this. Harvey came into the synagogue, and Harvey showed up to help mount all these things. I mean, he's done things in the other synagogue, but to mount all these sound barriers, whatever they're called, and he wanted to get involved, and he's doing a drosh, and he's studying to be able to maybe be a cantor. He didn't go from coming in to, Rabbi, I want to be cantor. You know, he went through the law of use, using what God gave him, and now he's doing things in the synagogue. The synagogue wants to give him some things to do. I mean, you can look around the room, the ladies that do the kitchen work. There are ladies that use the principle of use. They're using what talents God has given them. That area is always very, very clean when we walk in. The stuff is out the way it's supposed to be. No one has any issues. It's all because some people in the synagogue are using the talents God gave them. God wants us to be able to live in his kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. If you want to win over in the law of reciprocity, if you want to win over a member of the opposite sex, do you win them over by being a taker? Or do you win them over by being a giver? That's God's principles. The law of reciprocity works for these actions. They should also work if you need to improve your current financial situation. We are a blessed congregation, and many of you individually are also blessed because you diligently give tithes and offerings. I'm sure if I ask for a show of hands of the people that can directly see that their giving was followed by a blessing, I would see a lot of hands go up. I know my hand goes up. There's many, many times that I've given to something and had it come back to me in monetary ways as well as other ways, but I can directly relate to giving to God, and God is God of his own kingdom. His reciprocal is, and the law of sowing and reaping. If I sow friendship, if I sow greeting when I come into the synagogue and there's somebody that I haven't met before, I get back a greeting. If I sow money, I get back. I'm not saying for that purpose. But if Yeshua said to do this, that's the way it goes. If I tell you, look, this is my kingdom, here's the rules. Here's what you have to do if you want to get money. Give. That's fine. That's my rules. You don't like my rules? Go to another kingdom where they say take and see what you get. These are principles that God wants us to live with day in and day out. As an example, too, with the synagogue, 30 plus years ago, Rabbi and Diana started this synagogue and building it. They started with very, very little. In fact, they started in their living room. The law of use and the law of, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the law of perseverance, the law of reciprocity, brought us to three different locations before that one, each one bigger and better, and then brought us to this location this past year. Now, last year, for those of you that are members in the synagogue, we have a membership meeting every year. And last February, the board, through a lot of diligence and work and time, we've been trying to find a location for years. Anyway, we decided that we can't find a location at a price that's affordable to us. Let's add to the old synagogue. And John Allen, who was an architect, was able to be very helpful in estimating and so forth. Anyway, we proposed to the membership that we're going to extend that building and add 2,000 square feet, which would include a kitchen and an area for bagels and coffee and all this other stuff and some other changes. And we estimated we were going to come in between $800,000 and $900,000, all in. We just finished tithing our tithe as a synagogue. We tithe probably every quarter on whatever comes in. We tithe 10% to organizations around the world and to people in the synagogue that need money. Anyway, we just finished our tithes. Within a month of that time, Robinson saw this building. We ended up buying this building for $600,000 instead of $900,000 renovation. This building is a better building than that one. All agree? Okay. How about raising hands just for a second? We're seeing hands. Okay? God really blessed us, and it was $600,000 instead of $900,000. Our goal when we did that to the board, to the membership, we said that all of us agreed that we should do it, and we also all agreed that we're going to do our best to try to get it paid off as quickly as possible, like Rabbi and Diana did with that location. We made the move. We got it for less. Our goal is still to pay it off sooner. We're a giving synagogue. We have viewers from around the world that can see what we're doing as a synagogue that I'm sure will support. But and also, the church that owned this, they told us the price. We said yes. It was the price we wanted. We didn't negotiate. They didn't try to change things or anything. Very, very clean. And they got our old building. Law of reciprocity. Okay? So, I mean, it's practical. It works. This is how we're supposed to live in God's kingdom. So, one more scripture on reciprocity, and that's in Genesis 12:2. And we all know this one. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Reciprocity between God and his people. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in your family, all the nations of the world, of the earth, shall be blessed. When God shows his kingdom laws at work, there is always a blessing. Okay, last, the law of perseverance. Winston Churchill once said, "Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential." I'll read that again. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. But I do know that if the chicken in the egg didn't persevere, it would not survive. It was very cozy in this egg. It continued to grow, but at a point in time, it got to grow a little bit too big, and it started pecking and started pecking and chipping away and breaking out and finally came out. We know from reports and so forth that if you tried to help the chicken get out of the egg by breaking the egg and helping it along the way, 9 times out of 10, that chick will die because it didn't have the perseverance necessary to survive the next step of life. So those of you that are going through hard times or difficulties, persevere. Don't give up. We know that success in this life comes through hard work, dedication, commitment, self-discipline, in short, perseverance. In Luke 18:1-8, I don't have the scripture for that, but basically it's the parable of the woman and the judge. She persevered. She was just a lady. And I say it respectfully when I said that. She was just a lady going to the judge. I don't know how big of a judge he was. Was he a Supreme Court justice or whatever? But she didn't really care. She had an issue that needed to be taken care of, and she was not going to give up, no matter who she had to go to. And we see that right now, and they're doing the best they can. All the moms and dads and brothers and sisters in Israel that are trying to get their hostages taken back. Get them home, okay? They're persevering. They know the odds are against them. They don't really care. They're persevering. God is sovereign. We don't know the outcome, but that's not our responsibility. Like everything in the principles of the kingdom of God, we're responsible for the activity, and God is responsible for the results. We're responsible for the activity. He's responsible for the results. Israel prayed for 400 years to get out. I would have been really upset if I was in the first generation of that 400 years because I would really want it to be done soon, but it wasn't. Moses was in the desert for 40 years. Abraham had to wait for 13 years for a son, or whatever the timeline was. Sometimes the answer doesn't come right away, but God wants us to persevere. Keep on pressing through. So, the scripture verse is Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Up there I have keep asking, because it's in the Greek. It really means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't stop. Now, my wife heard something the other day that I thought was really good, so I'll share that as well. And I don't think it's a contradiction of this. I just think it's another way of looking at it. The person was saying that his daughter was like 13 or 14 years old, and she wanted a car when she turned 16. She went to her dad and says, Dad, when I turn 16, can I have a car? He said, yes, you can. She says, great. She didn't keep going back to him all the time asking for a car, asking for a car, asking for a car, because the father said, you're going to have one. She believed him and trusted him. Now, I'm sure that she didn't become rebellious and all these other things because she didn't have a car. She trusted her father. She loved her father. She knew his word was true. That's the same thing for us. Whether we live to see the car or we get the car, that's not our responsibility. We believe God. We trust God. Perseverance. Many of us have seen the Wounded Warrior commercials on TV. These guys that have been so badly wounded, with, you know, lose both their legs and an arm, and your heart breaks for them. And then you see them in the Special Olympics, or you see them playing golf, or you see them whatever, because they had somebody come along there at their side and help them to see that they can make it, that they can persevere. So you maybe not be going through something, but someone you know maybe. Can you be that help? Can you be that help to a wounded warrior in this kingdom? So as we read and study Yeshua's words and follow them, we have physical and spiritual success in this life, and it also helps us be prepared for the life to come where these kingdom principles will continue. So in closing, I would like to say the kingdom of God is at hand. Father God, I just pray for your blessing on the people, all that hear it, both here and around the world, that they would see and know and walk and live in the kingdom of God. In Yeshua's name, amen.